This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, March 2nd, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from Walton Arts Center's 10x10 Art Series, which continues with the SF Jazz Collective playing the music of Stevie Wonder on Thursday, March 15th at 7 p.m. This acclaimed jazz band will perform hits such as Superstition, Sir Duke, Do I Do, and more. Tickets and more information are available at waltonartcenter.org or 443-5600. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, talented residents with green thumbs prepare for the Orchid Society of the Ozarks annual orchid show and sale. Plus, W. Dale Warren, director of concert bands at the University of Arkansas, prepares for two busy days of performances early next week. But first, we begin with a story from Springdale.
So before we continue, what are the parts of the My Plate?
Oh,
just shout them out.
Grain.
Jamie Baum is an assistant professor of nutrition at the University of Arkansas. But on this unseasonably warm Wednesday afternoon, she's teaching students much younger than college co-eds. Inside an art classroom at Elmdale Elementary School in Springdale, 15 children sit at tables wearing white aprons and white paper chef hats, which they've decorated with stickers and signed their names using different colored markers. These elementary students are participating in a Cooking Matters class, which is being organized by the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank. Melissa Vest, the Director of Development for the Food Bank, explains the program is part of No Kid Hungry, an Arkansas campaign with the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance and the national organization Share Our Strength that is working to end hunger in the state. According to a Feeding America study that looked at data from 2006 to 2008, Arkansas has the highest rate of child hunger in the entire nation. Nearly one in four children in Arkansas suffer from hunger and food insecurity.
They're really trying to aim and target kids and teach them how to cook healthy and on a budget at home. So Cooking Matters is a grant that the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank has received to do these classes. And we have 15 kids here in Springdale at Elmdale, and they have been loving it. It's so neat. They say it's their favorite class. So it's really fun to kind of watch them learn different techniques to cook and safe knife techniques and grating cheese and all of those kind of things. And they get to put together three recipes while they're here, two to three. And we have a chef and a nutritionist from the University of Arkansas. And they get to learn all sorts of neat kitchen skills. And today we're cracking eggs and we're going to make healthy burritos, and we're also making French toast and yogurt parfaits.
Each week, the students are also given a bag that contains a recipe card and all of the necessary ingredients to prepare a dish at home.
A lot of the parents have told the school as well that it's really neat to get something home that they can do. So I think that it's really awesome that they get to take it home with their parents and their family. And some of the kids, you know, if their parents work at night, then their parents aren't there until a certain time, then they can kind of make a recipe with their brothers or sisters or with one of their parents and just kind of experiment and try something maybe their family's never tried before. So I think they've had a good reception to that as well.
One of the unique aspects of this cooking class is that it's geared toward children.
I think that that's the fun thing, is that these recipes are really fun, and they're things like wraps and easy to handle, like that, you know, snack-wise, and they're their size, like when you cut the roll-ups into little bite-sized portions, it makes it more fun and kind of accessible to them, because they maybe recognize the wrap as something they would get at the store or a fast food store, so this is a healthy version of that, and it's quick, easy things kids can make. So I think that, and a lot of them have really enjoyed learning how to cut up the different fruits and vegetables and prepare them themselves. And I think once they try it and it's in this environment where they're all there together and they're having fun, that a lot of them have kind of tried different things and stepped outside. I was surprised. There's stuff that I've never even tried myself. We had turnips and different things last time. So there's things that we're having them try and see if they like them. So I think that's part of the whole thing, is to see if they like the fruit and vegetable or not, because they might be surprised they like something they never tried before.
One group of volunteers helping coordinate the classes is the Northwest Arkansas Community College Students in Free Enterprise, or SIFE, team. George Tanner is an entrepreneurship and management professor who is also the SIFE team's faculty advisor.
I think just seeing young students learn something new and really get excited about something that helps them in a nutritious way is something they can take home and show their families. You know, here's what we learned today. Let's make this recipe. I've got young kids, and I wish I could bring them to this too, because it would be nice for them to have a little better idea of what goes into cooking and what's nutritious, what a whole grain really is. So I think that's, to me, is the most important and the most fun thing to watch, just seeing those light bulbs come off in their heads as these kids learn how to do something new. They like acquiring skills. They're sponges for knowledge. And the ladies handling this program, it's hands-on. They learn to do things. So I think that makes the difference.
Okay, are you guys ready? Now, who has cracked an egg before?
Me. I do it a lot.
You do it a lot?
Yeah.
My goodness, this is great. Well, I want everybody to crack an egg.
Across the hall, Diane Sapphire, who works in the U of A Food Science Department, is volunteering her time as a chef. Today, she's helping the students make egg burritos. After cracking the eggs, they heat up some pre-chopped green onions, black beans, and red bell peppers in a pan. After beating the eggs and then scrambling them, all of the ingredients are folded along with some cheddar cheese into a burrito, which the very attentive group of students take back to the art classroom to enjoy. The students are typically broken into small groups during Diane's portion of the lesson. Cooking can pose a challenge for many, but is it especially difficult teaching children?
Not at all, because I was a kid once. And I remember learning all the skills that my grandmother taught me. So it all comes back, and it's nice to pass it on. I think the kids sense the passion that I have for food and how I would like for them to do something on their own in their own kitchen, and I think they take that with them. Mm-hmm. And they can use that and show their families, hey, look what I did today. I made this. I think they experience success, then they'll keep on cooking.
Diane says knowing what's on your plate and what it took to cook that dish at a restaurant will help you make healthier choices as an adult. By handling the food, the students are learning about portion size and how to make healthy decisions. Melissa Vest, the Director of Development for the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank, hopes to continue these cooking classes for children in the future. Meanwhile, the next series of classes will be for adults.
We have a Cooking Matters class in Bella Vista, and it starts in the end of March, and it goes through May 4th, and it'll be on every Friday from 12 to 2, and it's for senior citizens, and we're going to do diabetes education along with that to help them. And with the senior citizens, we'll also take them to the supermarket and teach them shopping techniques so that they can get food on a budget, and we'll be teaching them similar recipes, things like that, because a lot of seniors need the help as well. So as far as our grant for this year, these are the two classes that we're doing, but we would love to continue doing something similar or some other kind of classes in the future because the reception's been wonderful.
Once the students complete the 6-week course, they will graduate the program. Melissa says the children will receive a certificate and a graduation present, like a pan or peeler, so they can continue cooking at home. More information is available at cookingmatters.org.
Oh my gosh, it's peanut butter!
So y'all had a great time, sounds like.
I'm closest to the peanut butter. I call it.
I'm second closest.
Alrighty.
Smells good up in here.
Earth, sky.
Today, how a team of astronomers made a better yardstick for measuring distances across space. Astronomer Fritz Benedict of the University of Texas and his team have directly measured distances to 5 variable stars called R.R. Lyrae stars.
Up until our work, though, we'd had no really good measure of the intrinsic brightness of this kind of star.
Benedict's team used a very precise instrument aboard the Hubble Space Telescope combined with an old technique for measuring star distances called stellar parallax.
And basically, parallax is very easy to understand. You just hold a finger up in front of your nose and open and shut your eyes and alternate. You watch your finger bounce back and forth against the background. And the further away your finger is, the less of a bounce back and forth there is.
Knowing the distances to RR Lyrae variable stars is important because these stars are one of the stepping stones used by astronomers to estimate distances across the universe.
So the work is basically the moral equivalent of someone handing you a yardstick and you don't know if it's 30 inches long or 40 inches long. Now we've handed you a yardstick that it's either 35 inches long or 37 inches long, and that's a much better yardstick.
Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
More than 40 members of the Orchid Society of the Ozarks will display their spectacular specimens this weekend at the second annual Orchid Show and Sale at the Botanical Gardens of the Ozarks. This year, the American Orchid Society will be on site judging blossoms. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas spoke with two of the members earlier this week and has this report.
Sarah Waddups waters a flat of orchids in the greenhouse of the Botanical Gardens of the Ozarks. After living in the Philippines for a year and a half, where orchids grow abundantly in the wild, she wanted a pretty plant for her office and purchased an orchid.
It sort of exploded. I now have 600, 700 plants, all starting from that one that just was beautiful. And so then I researched it and wanted to know how to grow it better and thought, ooh, look at that one. It's beautiful. I want one of those too. And so it's like anything else. You start small and the more you learn, the more interested you are in it.
That first plant is still alive and blooms every year. Sarah is now the president of the Orchid Society of the Ozarks. The group has a show this weekend at the Botanical Gardens in Fayetteville. It is a show for everyone, even those of us who are a little intimidated by the rumor that the plants are hard to grow.
Anyone can grow them. They're really not as hard as people think. They're just different than, often you'll see them in a design magazine and they're sitting on the coffee table in a beautiful planter and they do look good there and you can put them there, but to actually grow them, for example, you can't water it there. You probably should take it to your kitchen sink and let water run through the pot so that it gets completely soaked. A lot of them grow in bark instead of soil, and so you want to get all of it wet instead of just pouring in a tiny bit.
Most orchids in nature don't grow in dirt at all. They can grow attached to trees or rocks. And while they do grow in the tropics, they aren't limited to that environment. Orchids actually are native to Arkansas as well.
That's exactly where they grow, in the middle of the woods. We have one of our members who has quite a bit of land down south, and Crawford County, I believe, is where he is, and has a number of them that he photographs them and takes tours of the Orchid Society and probably any other members who wanted to go see them. They usually bloom in the spring.
Classes at the event will include one on Arkansas orchids. Sarah will also be teaching a class on growing basics, or how not to kill your orchid. Attendees can expect to see some beautiful flowers. Orchids come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, from the white flower we are all accustomed to seeing to deep purples, oranges, and yellows. Tom Larkin is an American Orchid Society judge and will be passing out ribbons this weekend.
When an AOS judge is observing a flower for consideration for an American Orchid Society Quality Award, he's thinking of a national image, an image of that we have of what perfection is. And we score against that image up to 100 points, which is never achieved.
Mr. Larkin has had a passion for growing things since he was a kid, when he discovered the orchid, the largest plant family on the planet.
If you started at birth, you couldn't possibly live long enough to study the entire family. So that's what makes it interesting. That's why I've had the passion since I was 13, and, you know, 60-some years.
It's that passion and experience he uses in judging. As he looks at a sea of deep purple, hot pink, and bright white flowers, he points out one of the more common varieties, the Cattleya, a larger blossom with flowy purple petals.
You're not old enough to remember when you know, the big thing was to have one of these on the woman's shoulder wherever you went. I like to say it's what the women wore before they started wearing pants.
He's referring to the 1950s and 60s. Judging an orchid begins by drawing an imaginary circle around the bloom and filling that circle with the flower.
In other words, imagine these petals broader, flatter, the petals in these in one plane, the sepals in another, perfectly round, closed lip, all the things you could do, say, as an artist to draw what you call perfect. So you, as a judge, you look for that. You look for, you know, substance, texture. You look for all the things that make that quality and long-lasting. Anything that's a positive aspect, anything negative, of course, is a point against it. This open lip would be, you know, in my mind, I would point down on it.
Tom spots another flower, one that he says is a nice one. It's a Paphiopedilum, a slightly more unique-looking flower, with burgundy and greenish petals that have a mottled look.
I'm not saying it'd be awardable, but if I had this growing in my greenhouse, I would not get rid of it. I mean, I cull pretty drastically the plants I grow, and most of them, if they're not apparent or not something I use as apparent, then they have no justification to stay around, you know, or show quality. And I'd not hesitate to put this in an exhibit. So it's very nice, you know.
Tom has thousands of plants in his greenhouse and even has a lab for hybridizing his orchids. He says that if you have never been to an orchid show, you will be pleasantly surprised. The second annual orchid show at the Botanical Gardens in Fayetteville begins tonight with a reception. Classes and exhibitions will be open tomorrow and continue on Sunday. For cost or more information, visit bgoozarks.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
It's Friday, March 2nd, 2012, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Bacon-Martin, Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
What did you do with Kyle? Is he dead somewhere?
No, he is out of town, but he'll be back next week.
Okay, so we can hold the fort.
We can hold
the
fort.
We got this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to do something completely different while Dad's away.
Okay.
We're going to talk only about things that are free or cheap.
Sounds good.
The variety is pretty amazing.
Really?
Free. First Friday in Bentonville, 5 to 8 o'clock tonight on the downtown square, Irish music by the Kansas City group $3 Band, the Ozark Highlanders, and singer-songwriter Jonathan Ramsey, balloon artists, face painting, costumed characters like leprechauns, because this is the Midway to March event, and food vendors, which are not free, but worth it.
I can't believe it's already time for First Friday again.
I can't believe it's already March.
Yeah.
Also tonight, the Sweetheart Waltz, a living history program based on the wartime letters of Fayetteville resident Raz Sturman. It's 6 o'clock tonight at the Fayetteville Town Center. It's part of the Living History Convention that's in Fayetteville this weekend. But this is open to the public, and it's free.
Excellent.
Tomorrow is Aldo Leopold Day at Hobbs State Park near Rogers.
Explorer? Is that right?
Something, I think so.
Something like that?
I know that it's free and there are activities for kids. And they have a screening of Green Fire, Aldo Leopold, and A Land Ethic for Our Time at 2:30. The Cane Hill Kite Festival is tomorrow.
Oh.
Starting at noon, Cane Hill west of Fayetteville. It's $2 to participate, but it's free to watch. And the rain date is March 10th, but I don't think we'll need to know that.
I don't think it's going to rain.
There's a free family program tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Bentonville Public Library with Lynn Scombedo about birds of prey.
Okay.
If you've never seen her with her rehabilitated raptors, oh, it will make your little heart go pitter-patter.
I'm sorry, owls, a what?
Rehabilitated raptors, owls and hawks. And
really?
She's one of the few licensed raptor rehabilitators in Arkansas.
I had no idea that was a thing, but that sounds fascinating.
Yeah. 2 o'clock tomorrow at the Bentonville Public Library, and it's free. On Sunday, it's the first Family Sunday at Crystal Bridges from noon to 5.
Okay.
and they're going to have music and art making and a scavenger hunt and family yoga and a chance to have your picture taken in a photo booth for inclusion on their Facebook page.
Oh, fun.
Shannon Wurst is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Should be fun, and it's free. There's an opening reception on Sunday for Visions of the Universe from 2 to 4 at the Springdale Public Library. The library is one of 55 in the country that get this traveling exhibit that uses historical drawings and diagrams made by Galileo and other early astronomers. And it's open through May 1st. And at 3 o'clock on Sunday, the Ozark Bronze Handbell Choir plays at First United Presbyterian Church in Fayetteville.
I still need to see a handbell.
It's very cool.
Chorus, choir.
Choir.
Thank you.
Very cool. You want to hear Cheap?
Yes.
We got Cheap. Uncle Vanya at Bentonville High School. This is an Anton Chekhov play. And I would worry, but it's Justin Schauer directing.
Okay.
So I know it'll be all right. And probably a lot of fun. It's 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday and 2 on Sunday at Arendt Art Center. And tickets are $5 to $8.
And you may have missed this the other day, but did you know that Kyle was in this production in high school?
Really?
Uh-huh. I did not know this.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's what you find out when Dad's away. The first production of the new Fringe Theater Project in Siloam Springs is this weekend. It's a musical called Ordinary Days. The plot revolves around four young New Yorkers in post-September 11th America. 8 o'clock today and Saturday at the Sager Creek Art Center. Tickets are $10 to $12. The Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale is doing If You Give a Mouse a Cookie.
This should be really cute because I remember the book.
How could it not? And the pictures are adorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tale of a mouse and a little boy, of course. 3 o'clock Saturday and 3 o'clock Sunday, and tickets are $9 to $16. And the Orchid Show and Sale, hosted by the Orchid Society of Northwest Arkansas. The reception is 6 to 7:30 today, and it's $8. And the show's open 9 to 5 Saturday and 9 to 4 Sunday, $5 admission, at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville. I took pictures last year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. It really makes you want to grow orchids. So there you go. There's no excuse not to get out of the house. Have fun.
Right.
While Dad's away, we'll all play.
It's all affordable. Thank you, Becca. Becca Bagan-Martin is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blues Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday, and we have a name brand interview with blues rocker Joe Pitts. He came into the studio last time he was in town. We've got selections from four of his CDs. He talks about recording with today's technology and life on the road. And that's the Generic Blues Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Republican Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas says he's very disappointed with the Senate's decision to table a measure that would have allowed employers to refuse to pay for contraception coverage as part of conscience. The Senate yesterday tabled the Blunt Amendment, effectively killing the measure, which would have exempted employers with moral objections from President Obama's birth control health coverage rule.
And that was really an amendment that basically puts in law what's been practiced, forever. Just the ability that if you had a conscience objection to distributing contraceptives, distributing medicines that caused abortion, sterilization, things like that, that you didn't have to do that.
Although the measure was tabled, Bozeman says it might come up again. The 2012 political lineup in Arkansas is set. The last day to file for candidates for state and national office was yesterday. One notable last day filing was for the 1st District Congressional seat, Scott Ellington, who is a state prosecutor and was key in helping negotiate a deal that freed the West Memphis Three. He is running as a Democrat against Republican incumbent Rick Crawford. Ellington says Crawford and other Washington Republicans aren't working for anything other than making President Barack Obama look bad.
We need someone to go to Washington to try to provide for the folks and to help for the folks of the 1st District. I'm not going up there to fight with the other party. I'm not going up there to stall the progress of things that could happen in D.C. That's the problem that I see that we've had right now.
State Representative Clark Hall and Arkansas State University economist Gary Lantinich are also running as Democrats in the 1st District. Two small businesses in Arkansas were named Blue Ribbon Small Business Award winners yesterday by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Arkansas Power Electronics International Incorporated in Fayetteville and Central Research in Lowell were recognized for their dedication to the principles of free enterprise and their contributions to restoring jobs and prosperity. According to a press release, the awards program, which is sponsored by Sam's Club, honors companies that demonstrate excellent business practices in several areas, including strategy, employee development, community involvement, and customer service. This year, 75 Blue Ribbon winners were selected from a record number of nationwide applicants and will be honored at America's Small Business Summit 2012 on May 21st through the 23rd in Washington, D.C. On March 15th, 7 of the Blue Ribbon recipients will be announced as award finalists, and one will be named the Dream Big Small Business of the Year during the summit. The winner will be presented with a $10,000 cash prize, courtesy of the U.S. Chamber. KUAF is supported by Clubhouse Fitness and Health Club, offering a 3-day introductory pass, which includes TRX, Fit Challenge, Zumba, and Les Mills classes. Located on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, and parking passes are included. ClubHAUSFitness.com for more information. This is Ozarks at Large. The University of Arkansas Concert Wind and Campus Bands, along with the UA Symphony, will perform Monday and Tuesday nights at Walton Arts Center. The programs include salutes to an Arkansas composer, new pieces, a nod to George Gershwin, and Led Zeppelin. This week, W. Dale Warren, the director of concert bands at the U of A, talked with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about the two nights of music.
And we want to give our students a very eclectic experience so they can experience music from all periods.
Monday night, it begins with the campus band. There are four conductors.
There are. We have a very involved graduate instrumental conducting program. And so, obviously, those folks come here because we give them minutes in front of real players, and they actually get to perform music rather than watch or observe. It's not laboratory. It's the real deal. They're preparing the music. They're conducting it on a concert.
So will we see one per performance?
No, we don't really do it that way. The fourth band was created for a multitude of reasons, but the biggest one was to serve those graduate conducting interns. And so I'll conduct one piece since I'm the professor of record with that ensemble, but the grad students will do all of the rest of the music.
Will you begin?
I will end.
You will end. Okay. Well, let's talk about the beginning before
sure.
the ending. It begins with John Philip Sousa, an operetta that Sousa wrote music for.
That's correct. Most folks know El Capitan just for the march,
right,
because that's what's played out of the operetta the most. But Sousa really wanted to be a serious composer and not just known for his marches. He wanted his epitaph on his headstone not to read "The March King," but "The Greatest Composer of All Time." You know, so he had to write music that he considered serious and he thought that the public would consider serious.
And it's a wonderful piece.
It's fantastic. It's one of his best marches, let's face it. And it's played constantly all for the right reasons.
You follow that. Now, that's Michael Moon who's conducting, right?
Michael will do the first two pieces.
The first
that's
two.
Right.
That's followed by a Dutch composer.
The Netherlands, right.
Right.
He's from Belgium, and his name is Jacob de Haan Ammerland, and it's about a series of mountain ranges there in Belgium that he grew up around that inspired him tremendously, and it's absolutely stunning.
And following that, you have another student on.
Well, Alex Bedore is up next, and the reason he's doing one and not two is because American River Songs is really built on three classic American River folk tunes, and so it's a more lengthy number, even though it's set in a single movement. And Pierre LaPlante is magical at weaving together those types of older pieces that all of us will know. You may not know the titles of them, but you'll definitely know the tune and you'll be able to hum them and tap your toe to them.
After Alex, a Wes King graduate conductor, he'll take care of conducting Harmony Heaven, C.L. Barnhouse, which I know as a publishing house.
Well, and that's his company. Of course, he started as a march composer, or composer period, circus tunes, all those kind of things. He played in circus bands and community bands, taught himself the cornet. It's a really great story. When he moved to Iowa for that particular band job, he liked it there and settled down. And Oskaloosa, Iowa is still the home of C.L. Barnhouse Publishing.
And it's Harmony Heaven that is his composition.
Exactly right. And again, it's not a march you may know the title of, but as soon as they get into the fifth bar and you start hearing the theme, you'll know it.
Then you will come on stage to conduct the end of the first half of Monday night's program. And this is a piece written in 1962 by a man who's strongly connected to Arkansas and Ouachita Baptist.
Absolutely. We lost Francis Macbeth last month. And, that's been tough for all of us. He was named Composer Laureate of the state in 75, the first Composer Laureate in America, and he's been the only Composer Laureate in Arkansas's history. He taught at Ouachita for four decades, and then once he retired, he's still been very involved in Arkansas music and music education for the last 15 years. So I've known, Francis has been an integral part of Arkansas for the last half century. And his music, not only is band music, but choral, orchestra, chamber, he's written everything. Beloved by everybody. I mean, I played for him as a junior high student in honor bands, as a high school student. My first year to teach public school, he was the all-state band conductor. So I stood behind the band the whole convention just to listen and watch him rehearse. And I wrote page after page of legal notes. The man was absolutely brilliant and hilarious.
Really?
Hilarious. Had his own radio show in Arkadelphia. He wrote all the material. I mean, a stitch. You couldn't listen to Francis without being on your side, holding your sides, rolling in the floor.
So safe to say there's part of him that's with you every time you go on stage.
Absolutely true. I was fortunate enough to conduct the Arkansas All-State Band this past weekend, and we did a piece, and his widow Mary came, and very emotional for everybody. So, yes, Francis and I have a connection just like everybody in the state does. I'm not trying to say that mine is stronger than anybody else's, but he's left a mark that will be with us forever because of his music.
Then comes, this is still Monday night, the Symphonic Band.
That's correct. And this is a really terrific program that Chris Knighton's put together. Canzona Septimitone, number 2 by the great Gabrielli. Of course, this is written for St. Mark's in Venice, one of the great brass choir fanfare type pieces in Gabrielli's output.
Yeah, and you move from that to Ray Vaughan Williams.
Right. You can't beat Rosa Midre. No. And again, it's one of those pieces that everybody knows and a beloved composer, certainly in Europe, but has gotten a very strong American audience over the last, 100, 150 years. And then we close with this hot, burning blues piece called Blue Shades by Frank DeKelly. And we're actually featuring our guest artist on this evening last, which is pretty rare, as you know. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Manastra is going to come out and just smoke the clarinet.
It's a clarinet kind of two nights.
It is. We wanted, we did the trumpet thing last year with Al Vizzuti and Rex Richardson, and that worked so well, we thought we'd do a kind of a clarinet fest.
and Blue Shades, which is a recent piece, there's a hint of Rhapsody in Blue to me.
No question. There's a lot of blues, even though there's not a single 12-bar blues in the piece.
Right.
And only a little bit of it swung eighth note. But it's every kind of blue that your brain can come to. You can pick all the blues in the world, and then there'll be a piece of that. But there is that little kind of tipping of the hat, mm-hmm. certainly to Gershwin in there.
That's Monday night. You go home. You sleep.
No, you don't sleep.
Then Tuesday night, March 6th, it's the concert band and the Wind Symphony, and the concert band, again, all over the place.
We have a new conductor for the concert band, Benjamin Chamberlain, who has a terrific pedigree, undergrad from Minnesota, master's from LSU, and a doctorate from Northwestern. And we're just so delighted he's in Fayetteville, and he's doing a spectacular job. He's going to open with the Strauss Konings March, which obviously, again, a very standard march in the repertoire, a great way to open a concert. Then we go to a completely new piece by John Mackey called Foundry, which is kind of crazy. It's got he wrote it for instruments that are not traditional percussion. That way it's never going to sound the same way twice because he lets the players pick the types of materials that they use to play on. Yeah, so it's really clever. And then the Leonard Bernstein Danzon comes next, and, you know, Bernstein, you know, how are we going to get better than Lenny? And then we're going to close with another Arkansan, as you've already noted, Clifton Williams, who was one of Francis's very best friends on the planet. Symphonic Dance Number 3, The Fiesta, which is just a rousing and fun all the way around fiesta for the audience to go home with.
And then the Wind Symphony. This is not that the other three are not big, but there's something pretty big here.
Well, you know, we've done – last semester we did two world premieres, one on each concert, and we're starting this semester with another world premiere. We're going to open the program with the Beowulf of Francis Macbeth to honor him and to celebrate his life. And then we're going to move into the premiere by Percy Grainger of Suite from the Jungle Book cycle. And you say, well, you know, he's been dead since you know, the early 60s. But this is the first time that this choral music that Grainger was inspired by Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book poetry has been set for the wind band. And so our own Chow Ragsdale has done a magnificent job of setting these 10 movements. It's really going to be a spectacular premiere, I think. And then we're going to do more clarinet, you know, fireworks, pyrotechnics. You know, Nobuchad Choltishanta is going to come out and do the Black Dog of Scott McAllister. And if you know anything about Black Dog, you know that that's a Led Zeppelin tune.
Well, yes.
And it is. It's a Led Zeppelin tune for clarinet and wind band. And you get a Stairway to Heaven quote. You get all these neat Jimi Hendrix guitar licks all throughout it. And it's in an insane clarinet part. I wish I'd have brought the clarinet part because nobody could believe a human would be able to do this. The kids don't know anything about Zeppelin.
Well,
you know.
I was going to ask because Black Dog, the Zeppelin song, is older than many of the pieces
you're
playing.
Absolutely right. And, well, as a matter of fact, we were playing, you know, the other day.
Right.
And I'm going, do y'all even know the text, the words to this? And they all looked at me like, no, why would we? You know, look, we were all born in the 90s. And so I had to sing them the text. And the fact that I could remember it was shocking, quite frankly. But, you know, it's music I grew up with. And then, of course, we're going to close the concert with the epic Symphony in B-flat by Paul Hindemith, which a lot of people will say is the finest piece ever written for winds in the history of wind band music. And it'd be hard to argue that statement.
How much do you want an audience member to know about the program? Do you want us to sit down 20 minutes before and see what's coming and read a little bit about, or –
I think that enhances the experience quite a bit. I mean, we do extensive program notes for that very purpose. I always feel like I have a better listening experience if I understand what the composer was trying to say. Not that any of this is really programmatic, but that I kind of get where they were coming from, know something, you know, about what I'm getting ready to hear. For me, that's a big help. And I think that most of our patrons, certainly the guys that have been with us for years now, really do appreciate that heads up, if you will, mm-hmm. kind of knowledge before they listen. Sometimes, you know, hearing something completely for the first time with no background is pretty refreshing. So I get that too. But we don't hold a gun to your head and say, you got to read the program notes. You know, every person can approach it the way that they want to experience the music.
W. Dale Warren talked with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums this week. The University of Arkansas Band concerts are Monday and Tuesday night at Walton Arts Center, beginning at 7:30 each night. This is Ozarks at Large. Next week, the Winthrop Rockefeller Institute will host its first film forum called Adventures in the Art of Filmmaking. The forum, which is open to everyone from professionals to students to enthusiasts, is scheduled for March 8th through 11th at the Winthrop Rockefeller Institute atop Pettigean Mountain in Arkansas. Earlier this week, I spoke to Chief Executive Officer Christy Carpenter about how the organization came up with the idea to host this event.
It really came about for two reasons. I mean, number one, we want to, as part of our programming mix, celebrate the arts and culture, because those were areas that were extremely important to Governor Rockefeller, and we are thereby carrying on his legacy and his vision in that area, where, you know, he really felt that the arts were ennobled the human spirit and lifted the human spirit. The other reason is I'm fortunate to have a husband, Robert Walden, who's an actor who spent most of his career in Hollywood and knows a lot of extremely talented people in L.A., and he was in a position to recruit them to come to Pettigean Mountain share what they know with people from Arkansas.
And you mentioned your husband. He is one of the faculty members that will be helping out at the Institute. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the people that he has recruited, as you said?
Yes, absolutely. It's a wonderful mix of people. Fred Roos has been Francis Ford Coppola's producer for many years and produced two Oscar-winning films, including Godfather II and a documentary about the making of Apocalypse Now called Heart of Darkness. And Fred also produces Sofia Coppola's films and like Lost in Translation. And so he just has a tremendous amount of experience over many decades with American film and the way it's evolved. And so he's going to share some of his thoughts and insights and background stories on some of these great films he's been associated with. Joan Darling was one of the first female directors in television who really made it. And she was involved in directing so many situation comedies like MASH and Mary Hartman, and the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and on and on. And she's a brilliant teacher, teaches at Sundance a great deal of the time. Bill Spano is a wonderful screenwriter. Sandra Seacat may not be a name that people have heard of, but you would know many of the people that she has coached. She is one of the foremost acting coaches in Hollywood and has coached people such as Michelle Williams in her role in Marilyn, where she was recently nominated for an Academy Award. Tobey Maguire of Spider-Man fame, Laura Dern, Mickey Rourke. I could go on and on. So Sandra is one of the most sought-after coaches, and any aspiring actors who come to the mountain will have the benefit of getting coached by Sandra. So we think it's going to be just a wonderful and remarkable opportunity.
It sounds like a great cast of characters who will be there. Now, what are some of the workshops that people can participate in? Because the film form is open to everyone, so you'll probably have actors or people that enjoy working behind the scenes. So will there be different workshops appealing to the different aspects of the film world?
Yes, we actually are going to have a mix of panel discussions that are suited. Really, you don't have to be in the business in any way, shape, or form with these panel discussions. They are open to anybody who loves movies and just wants to learn and understand more about films and hear from these insiders. But we do have workshops additionally, and those are more suited for people that are budding actors and directors and screenwriters in particular, because we have workshops on each of those three subjects. And the actors that are there will get to, after they've gone through some coaching experiences over the first couple of days, will get to present scenes that they've prepared for the total audience. So it's going to be, I think, a rich learning experience for people that are engaged professionally in film and as well as just the general film fan like me.
And for those that, say, are aspiring actors who are going to be able to get feedback from professionals, people who have been there, can you speak to the value of that sort of experience for someone, having that feedback from someone who's actually been on the other side?
Oh, well, I think it's enormously valuable to be able to work with people, whether it's Joan Darling in her television directing or Howie Deutsch, for example, in his film directing, who have worked with tremendous talent, have many years of experience working on comedy as well as drama. There's just no opportunity in Arkansas to get that kind of exposure to people like this, although obviously there's some fine professors both in Fayetteville and UCA and elsewhere in the state. And actually some of them will participate as well. John Landsman from the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville and Bob Ford. John teaches directing and Bob Ford teaches acting. So they're going to be a part of the group engaged in these workshops. And people who want to understand more about the business, Howie Deutsch will also talk about what it takes to get a screenplay produced. You know, how do you go about doing it? What are the pitfalls? How do you make a pitch effective? So those are some examples of some of the kinds of things that people will have a chance to learn about.
All right, so this inaugural film forum called Adventures in the Art of Filmmaking will be March 8th through 11th at the Winthrop Rockefeller Institute atop Pettigee Mountain in Arkansas. And how much is it to participate, and where can people register?
Yes, well, the place people need to come to get the full rundown on the schedule is livethelegacy.org. And actually, people will be gathering the night of the 8th, but we don't begin till the morning of Friday, March 9th, and then run the weekend. And one of the great things for people is that people will be able to buy tickets a la carte for many of these panel discussions that I've mentioned. So the price really depends on how much of the weekend you're going to come and take advantage of. We have a great chef. As I promised, the food will be good and the company will be even better. And the chance to really get up close and have one-on-one conversations with all the people that I've just mentioned.
Christy Carpenter is the Chief Executive Officer for the Winthrop Rockefeller Institute. I spoke to her earlier this week about Adventures in the Art of Filmmaking, a film forum scheduled for March 8th through 11th. More information is available at livethelegacy.org. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Time now for a trivia question. Today's winner, and we'll have two winners today, will receive a pair of tickets to the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas's next concert. Sona performs next Saturday, March 10th at Walton Arts Center. So you'll get a pair of tickets to that and a pair of Malco movie passes, good at any local Malco movie theater. Now, earlier in the week, we had a story about the Fayetteville Public Library having a reading to celebrate Dr. Seuss's the anniversary of Dr. Seuss's birthday, as well as part of the program Read Across America. Kyle mentioned that he had a trivia question about Dr. Seuss, and we ran out of time. So given that today is the actual anniversary of Dr. Seuss's birthday, he would have been 107. I thought today would be an appropriate time to bring it back up. So today's question, Dr. Seuss has written a number of children's books, one of which starts like this. The sun did not shine. It was too wet to play. So we sat in the house all that cold, cold, wet day. My question is, which Dr. Seuss book does that come from? If you know the answer, you have a guess, give me a call at 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF, and good luck.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 2nd of March, 2012. It's the birthday of Tom Wolfe, born Richmond, Virginia, 1931, author of The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, The Right Stuff about the American Space Program, and his novels, The Bonfire of the Vanities, A Man in Full, I Am Charlotte Simmons, his fourth novel, Back to Blood, due out this year. Tom Wolfe wrote an essay a few years back arguing that the newspaper industry would stand a better chance of survival if newspapers encouraged reporters to provide the emotional reality of the news by using four literary devices in their work to make the reader feel present in the scene. First of all, to construct scenes, and second, to use dialogue, lots of it, and to note the details of social status, dress and furniture and speech, and to employ point of view in order to put the reader inside the mind of someone other than the writer. It's the birthday of John Irving, born John Wallace Blunt, Jr. in Exeter, New Hampshire, 1942. His parents divorced when he was two. He never heard from his father again. mother remarried and gave him his stepfather's last name, Irving. Wrote three books that were critical successes but didn't sell well, but his fourth did, The World According to Garp, 1978, about the fatherless son of a radical feminist, the absence of a parent, especially the father, a recurring theme in Irving's work. And it's the birthday of Sholem Aleichem, born in Ukraine, 1859, wrote in Yiddish, gave us the character Tevye the Milkman, whose stories inspired the musical Fiddler on the Roof. Sholem Aleichem, who said, "Life is a dream for the wise, a game for the fool, a comedy for the rich, a tragedy for the poor." Here's a poem for today by Wendell Berry in Art Rowan Berry's barn. In Art Rowan Berry's barn, when Art's death had become quietly a fact among the other facts, Andy Catlett found a jacket made of the top half of a pair of coveralls after the legs wore out, for Art never wasted anything. Andy found a careful box made of wood scraps with a strap for a handle. It contained a handful of small nails wrapped in a piece of newspaper, several large nails, several rusty bolts with nuts and washers, some old harness buckles and rings, rusty but usable, several small metal boxes, empty, and three hickory nuts hollowed out by mice. And all of these things Andy put back where they had been for time and the world and other people to dispense with as they might, but not by him to be despised. This long putting away of things may be useful was not all of Art's caretaking. He cared for creatures also, every day leaving his tracks in dust, mud, or snow as he went about looking after his stock or gave strength to lighten a neighbor's work. Andy found a bridle made of several lengths of baling twine knotted to a rusty bit, an old set of chain harness, four horseshoes of different sizes, and three hammerstones picked up from the opened furrow on days now as perfectly forgotten as the days when they were lost. He found a good farrier's knife, an awl, a key to a lock that would no longer open. In Art Rowan Berry's Barn, a poem by Wendell Berry from his collection Given, published by Shoemaker Horde and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. iPad users can download the three most recent issues of Poetry Magazine, celebrating its centennial in 2012, at poetryfoundation.org. Written by Holly Vanderhaar, be well, do good work, keep in touch.
All right, so before Writer's Almanac, we asked today's trivia question, and I asked about Dr. Seuss. Today is the anniversary of his birthday. He would have been 107. And the question was, from which Dr. Seuss book does the following paragraph come from? The sun did not shine. It was too wet to play. So we sat in the house all that cold, cold, wet day. The answer is, of course, The Cat in the Hat. We will put the names of all the callers who had the correct answer into the ceramic cow, and we will draw two winners, and each winner will win a pair of tickets to Sona's performance next Saturday at Walton Arts Center, as well as a pair of movie passes to any local Malcolm movie theater. Support for KUAF comes from the Kumon Center, offering an after-school math and reading enrichment program for pre-K through high school students. An open house in partnership with RIF International will be held on Saturday, March 3rd at the Lowell and Fayetteville locations. Games, refreshments, and a raffle will be offered. Information for the Fayetteville event is available at 595-8765 or kumon.com/Fayetteville-AR.
a listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Sonora. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to tune in to Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9. This week will be hosted by Ithi Agnihotri-Madulker and Christina Thomas. Ithi will be back on Monday, and I will be back along with Kyle Kellums on Tuesday. Thanks again for listening, and please have a fantastic weekend.